Okay, in their first detailed and comprehensive look at the DNA of chickens, scientists have found that 60% of the bird's genes have close cousins in humans. They say such analysis should prove valuable. And learning more about the human.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man graduated from Yale. The Yale Poultry School.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, the current issue of the journal.
You ever think about that?
What?
I mean, you're a graduate of Yale.
Yeah.
I mean, you're an accomplished journalist.
Yeah.
Okay? You've written books.
Yeah.
You're a father.
Right.
You're acting like a chicken. Oh, God.
Well, you could say, typically a part of that writing books and accomplished journalist, you could say that about the President of the United States. He went to Yale, he's a father, and he's a complete idiot.
Well, all that...
It's not like my fault, dude. But anyway, scientists sequence genomes of animals in part because they provide points of comparison for shedding light on the human genome, since the chicken and the human genomes have been evolving separately for about 310 million years. It's at the so-called sweet spot on the evolutionary tree for such comparisons. In other words, it's an opportunity to sort of figure out which genes get switched on or... Like, if you ever look at the fetal development, there is a point where we're all chickens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Well, you know, you've seen pictures of developing fetuses.
Yes.
Well, you know, at a certain point, it's like, you know, hey, maybe I'm a fish. You know, and then about a week or two later, it's like, hey, could be a chicken. I'm starting to look like a chicken. And then, you know, as the guilt goes along, it turns out you're not. But the question is, which genes get switched on and off? And so that's why it's very interesting to do the chicken genome. And also, it's also important for scientists to learn about bird. Oh, we have to go. Never mind. Saying before about the isolating the chicken genome.
There's more chicken stuff here.
I think it's 60% of the chicken genome, and I want to make it clear, it's not the kind of chicken you see in the barn. The genome that they studied is not your basic barn chicken, but the red jungle fowl.
The what?
The red jungle fowl. The red jungle fowl is the progenitor of the domesticated chicken. In other words, there's a wild chicken.
Wild chicken.
Yeah, this is the wild.
Feral chicken.
It's the feral chicken that was... eventually domesticated in...
Because chickens in Key West.
...thought to serve mankind. And it turns out that chickens have roughly the same number of genes that we have, 20 to 30,000 genes. But they're
really?
Genes, but they don't have as many letters in their genes. Mm-hmm. In other words, you know, they don't have to...
Well, that's your laundry is often either, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it turns out that chickens have more genes related to sensing odors than expected. They probably have a sharper sense of smell than they'd ever
a chicken?
A chicken does, yeah.
Wow.
But it doesn't have as many genes devoted to sensing taste, and not as many as the average mammal does. So it probably can't taste in any different tastes. Otherwise,
well, whatever, gets corn anyway, right?
It does have the gene that's said to detect bitter tastes. And then lastly, the other reason to learn about chickens is because of bird flu, avian flu, which may kill us someday. So better know about the chicken genome now so that we can understand this viral disease that's found in chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And it might eventually help us fight off this thing. So it's valuable knowledge. It's not just a waste of time. We have the fourth thing coming up. Pacers brawl is the first case of offsetting penalties between fans and players. They each get 5 charges. It's time for Sport.com, the very first sports discussion segment. I'd like Mr. Ambrosio.
We.
And myself.
Players actually give it time.
Give it time.
Yeah. They're going to have the number one draft pick. They got to give it to the Chargers, who are going to make the playoffs.
You know, we sort of had to deal with the Mr. Ambrosio question without you here yesterday.
Why? What was it?
Well, the whole question was, when bears hibernate, do they get up to go to the bathroom?
And I think we already answered that.
Yeah,
a while back. Yeah. No, well, of course, they don't have to. They have internal bladders.
Yeah.
And internal diapers, rather, like in their bladders. Yeah. The way that the bears were are created, they have the ability, when hibernating, it's interesting that the bear's bladder would know this. See, this is kind of a two-for-one day. Here on the old Ask Mr. Ambrosio segment, the bear's bladder would, the bears are constructed so that while they're sleeping, if they're sleeping for a certain period of time, their inner body workings realize that they're sleeping and it allows them to take care of bodily functions, without having to get up, and use a nightlight.
Mm.
And that was really, in sports, I mean, I don't, Syracuse didn't look very good last night against Oklahoma State, two teams that could contend for the
chat to a minimum.
Yeah. Although we have big plans for Logan Burns.
Yes, we do.
Really? I think he can take over the Dan Rather role, but Logan and his dog, they'd be sitting side by side in chairs, and the dog would have some papers in front of it, too.
They get him in trouble.
And then the dog would, like, nod occasionally. And stuff like that.
That's it. The dog would nod.
I think he has a husky.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we answer the question?
The dog would nod.
You don't even have a question.
Yeah, I do have a question. The question is, dear Mr. Ambrosio, do hiccups serve any purpose? What do hiccups do?
Hiccups?
Yeah.
They actually allow your system, they help with the gas passing in your system.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't hiccup every month. No, seriously, once a month. What are you giving me all notes for? Do you want the answer or no?
I want the answer.
Get up with this, Mr. Ambrosio.
I cringe.
What happens if you don't hiccup?
If you don't hiccup once a month, then you go through about a three-day period where your gas is unbearable, both for you and whomever. So the idea is you have to induce hiccups, even if you do not have, if you reach the 28-day cycle.
Well, do some people hiccup in their sleep and not know it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, a lot of people, it's interesting you would mention that. A lot of people do hiccup while they sleep, especially if you've had caffeine or if you've had coffee or tea before you get, in fact, green tea is probably the best known
hiccup inducer.
Yeah, that's a good phrase. Looking for something a little bit spicier, but fortunately I couldn't come up with it. But yeah, you have to hiccup once a month, or the buildup of gas in your system will, you know, pretty much turn you into Mount Vesuvius for about a three-day period.
So there's people who burst into flames.
People have nearby, yes.
It's Christmas songs.
Yeah, well,
a lot of people secretly hate one or two of those.
Well, we mentioned the fact that at the beginning of the show that across America, a common phenomenon now is that stations, from starting after Thanksgiving Day and going all the way through Christmas Day, will, in fact, play 24/7 Christmas songs. Now, our stations here are not doing that.
Because,
well, we don't really know why.
Well, because they're smart, that's why.
Yeah, and 93.7... there aren't enough Christmas songs, we were ditching them. and people at late 100.5 don't actually know it's Christmas yet. So, we're busy just sort of lifting their eyelids up and shining the flashlight at their pupil right now. But, so anyway, we're not doing that, but a lot of stations are. And I do think it's like Christmas songs of mass destruction or something. People don't even, we don't even have the ability to use Christmas songs. It's like Americans are so excessive. It's, you know, we don't know how to rein in our appetites. We don't know how to drive our cars at a reasonable speed. And we don't even know how to use Christmas carols responsibly. Christmas carols are something that you could maybe listen to a few times, you know, like the last few days before Christmas and a few times maybe before that. But not constantly. It really is. I mean, it's sort of the American excess.
Right. I would agree. I think it's playing those things wall to wall. I just don't get that.
Right. Here's Peter in his car. Look forward to is the, right around this time of year, the New York Times Sunday Magazine puts out its best, the year in ideas. They bring up all the new ideas and stuff. And that's coming up this Sunday. I'm really looking forward to it. And what I do is, it's a really dense thing, and it's the kind of thing that I'm interested in. So I keep it by the toilet. I read it all year long. So I'm just constantly having ideas all the time.
Right. So to keep it right there by the toilet.
Yeah. My brain is constantly moving in synchronicity with my bowels.
Oh, this is weird. It's off to a screaming start.
Okay.
You know, I'm a real hero in what's up with that? I call it the Torrington Historical Society today, so we got to get, like, William McKinley exhibit.
Hey, you need John Brown. You got John Brown in Torrington.
We got John Brown, but that would make sense. We don't want to make sense.
Yeah,
we want something like, you know, Lincoln in downtown Hartford. I mean, that kind of thing.
But you got to admit, it's going to be an it's going to draw crowds like flies.
Eddie, can we go see the Lincoln statue again?
Oh, come on.
Right.
It's not last week.
Right.
We want to go again. We want to see the Lincoln statue. Yeah.
I go to Disney World when you can see that.
Well, anyway, we are going to have one of the, there's, you know, I don't think there's
any
connection between Lincoln. I was wondering whether he'd ever even been to Hartford.
Well, the Harriet Beecher Stowe.
He patted her on the head, yeah, but
yeah.
I mean,
that's
in Hartford.
No, I know that, but yeah. I mean, That would be, the, I guess, the only thread of connection between all of it.
I don't know. I mean, I would be interested in knowing. Unfortunately, our state historian is new. We got a new guy doing the, as a state historian, so he may not know the answer to that question. But I bet you Liam was never in Hartford. I know a fair amount of Connecticut history, and I can't think of any occasion when Lincoln would have been in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
But
I got really nervous when I saw the headline this morning, because I grew up in Lincoln, Maine, and I thought maybe they're moving that down here. I thought, good God, I don't think so. You want something that's going to attract people.
Yeah. I just don't think this is really going to be like the big crowd-drawing thing, though, somehow.
Did I hear you say you think it's not going to be? I mean, come on. What would possess anybody to think that was going to be a plus?
What do you want to do tonight, dude? You want to go look at the Lincoln statue, dude?
You could put the Lincoln Memorial from Washington in his. I mean, I just don't think.
They're going to have to get more creative somehow. They're going to either have to. I don't know what they can do. For example, this is really gross, but in Mark Lehner's book, Etude Babe, I think it's Etude Babe, it's one of his comic novels, they find out that there's a vial in the Smithsonian of Lincoln's morning breath, and they steal it, and then they get high on it. It's really in bad taste, but I mean, they may have to. You might have to kind of go that route a little bit. Just your basic Lincoln statue. I just don't see that.
Give it to
people down to the
more than one, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But okay, a bunch of Lincoln statues and some benches with some Lincoln sayings on them.
Maybe they could have Lincoln sitting down there, and they could have him with a laptop.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay, you want to get into that? Okay, we'll get into that. I've been repeatedly warned by management. It turned out...
I just love this.
Lob
it up there.
I come in the area and I see all this transgressive stuff and I insult people and I, you know, and I... Epitude the bourgeois and none of it matters. But they're worried today because I might warn people. And, you know, this is a public health warning.
But it's a public service.
This is like Flick Stone Squash, you know, which is another public health service. You're not supposed to put your laptop on your testes. And it's in the paper today. Well, the Profit Master is upset about that idea. But it's in the paper today. It's on page A4 of the Hartford Courant. I didn't make this up because I had some sick, twisted need to talk about it. It was an article that initially appeared in Newsday. And it's about fertility.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is that... That certain things depress fertility. And in fact, I mean, there was sort of a period of time where they were warning people if they wanted to create a pregnancy that they shouldn't even wear, like, tight underpants. You shouldn't wear, like, tighty-whities. You should wear, like, boxers or something like that. Because the tighty-whities would trap the heat too much. The whole idea is you don't want things to get hot. You want to maintain a proper testicular temperature. It's something that we ask our listeners to do just as a matter of courtesy and good hygiene, maintain a proper testicular temperature. And one of the problems is that people are putting their...
I have a copy of this article. Oh, my.
You're looking at the same article?
I don't know if it's the same article.
So you got people who put their laptops on their situations, and they'll leave them there. And and pretty soon you're shooting blank.
This is great.
So the whole idea is, I see this show as a place where a lot of this kind of public health information gets. I don't know whether we would want to have jingles about this one, but we could.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
I thought
we have a prize.
Really riding the delay on that one. But, for example, we did have previously, well, we've had a number of jingles.
Yes, we have.
Jingle thing that we did. I know we had Flick Down Squash.
The one about washing your hands.
About washing your hands, yes. Yeah. That was another public health jingle, which is...
And this is right there in that...
Just to wash your hands at least as long as it takes to sing Happy Birthday.
Right.
And
maybe we could work Happy Birthday into this somehow.
Well, sooner or later, you do work a Happy Birthday into this, if you ever want to have a Happy Birthday. But anyway, according to this article, scientists at Stony Brook University Hospital on Long Island have discovered that the male testes heat up after only an hour of laptop use. That's if you have the laptop on them, obviously. They should put that in. It's not actually, I mean, I'm just reading for the article. It's a scientist at Stony Brook University.
Is this your idea? Is this your idea to get out of going to the holiday store tomorrow? is that what this is?
No, look, it's in the paper.
I don't know if the paper, I don't have that here right in front of me, but I do have this article, and it is like, there's a couple of things in here that just...
You might have a better article than I do.
Oh, this is classic.
Where's your article from?
Times Online.
Oh, well, I'll take a look at yours. I mean, your article.
Let me move my laptop first.
They're talking about a 4.9 degree Fahrenheit increase. Could happen, and that's enough to that is what happens if you put the laptop on your situation and just start typing away, particularly if you're blogging. I think blogging is probably the worst thing you could do with your
this
with your
is
laptop.
Right up there with the worst yet.
Okay,
this is right up there.
But anyway, in the course of an hour,
look at Sherwood. He's ready to run for the door.
There's a 4.9 degree Fahrenheit increase in the temperature of your testes.
And the calls are rolling in. But they don't describe it in this article.
So think about that, all right? So let's say they start out at 98.6. I'm hoping they do.
Yeah.
So we're talking, I can't do the math in my head. It's like, well, it's like 93.5. I skipped over one. 93.5. Is that one of our stations here?
93.7.
Because that would be a good, you know.
Right. Yes, it would.
You know, if everybody knew what it meant, for example.
Right.
So, I mean, that's dangerous.
Well, you're certainly free to take a look at that.
No, it would be 99.5. I've still done it all wrong. I try to do the math in my head, and I'm just, the drugs haven't kicked in yet.
Yeah.
It would be 99.5, right?
Apparently we have some interesting calls coming in.
All right.
Should we go to these?
No jingles, though.
Here's Peter in Cromwell. Peter?
How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Yeah. I'm riding in my car right now with my seat warmer on.
Yeah.
And I've got a bad back I tend to put on quite a bit. Is that going to affect my testicular temperature here also?
I would say you should be careful. You might want to take little breaks now and then.
I will do that.
Get out of the car and walk.
You like have a thermometer to
walk,
measure this?
Kind of bow-legged for a while.
All right, I'll take that into consideration.
Just get some air circulation, and then you can go back and enjoy your heater.
But how do you know what the temperature is?
Well, I mean, you could use a meat thermometer, but... you did ask me.
here's a concept, okay? Try this.
This is health. This is health news.
Just try this out.
All right.
Just because I asked you something doesn't necessarily mean. You know how it is?
Yeah.
You have an impulse, but sometimes it's fine.
These
but
studies
if you
were,
act on
were,
it, that's what the...
They were published in the Journal of Human Reproduction. And the whole idea is that teenagers and young men should consider cutting the time spent with a computer positioned on their lap because of possible long-term damage to their fertility. It's not like, by the way, you just take the laptop away and then things chill down a little bit and then you're good to go. There may be permanent damage.
Yeah.
You know.
We have somebody here that wants to weigh in on this that I think could add a little, add a lot to this discussion.
We will lose our job, but go ahead,
Okay. I think that a person who could add a lot to this discussion, and that would be a recognized expert in this field, Peter Shapiro.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Peter.
Thank you for that weigh-in comment.
Yeah.
I was very generous. Anyway, I'm thinking Jerry Lee Lewis.
What about him?
I think he's got the theme song for your
segment. Great Balls of Fire? Yeah, I thought about that.
You know? Did you bring it in?
I hadn't said it on the air yet. I was told
by station management not to even bring this up, I think, as I recall.
Well, no, they just said be very, very careful.
Oh, they said be very careful.
They said be very, very careful, which is what we're saying to the listeners, too. Be very, very careful.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sending this, you know, directly to my son, Matt.
Yeah.
Who's flying home.
Right.
I don't want him to be using that laptop.
He can be flying home with a banjo on his knee, but he can't be flying home with a laptop.
Anyway.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks for a little contribution.
Down there. Yeah, right. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I think.
These are irreplaceable valuables. God-given irreplaceable valuables. You have to take care of them.
Well, that's a nice sentiment.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever been quite as eloquent.
People are supposedly concerned about moral values. It seems to me that, you know, if you want to be fruitful and multiply, if you want to propagate the earth,
yeah,
you best not be doing this.
Here's a Stephen in a car. Stephen?
Hi, Stephen.
Stephen.
You know what some young people do is they, like, I've noticed this around here with some of the producers, they'll put the laptop on their lap for a while, then they'll notice their situation heating up. So then they go and they sit down on the cold stones by Lake Salhaney to kind of bring it back down.
That's where we see a lot of steam.
Yeah, that's the kind of yo-yoing kind of cycle that you don't want to get into, actually. That's a bad idea.
It's been known to actually cause thunderstorms out here.
People think that they can sort of correct the effect of a laptop by going and sitting on the cold stone.
It's
like
a terribly bad move.
Please don't do that.
Yeah.
That's exactly the wrong philosophy.
I think you've got that. And it's very nice of you to point that out.
Yeah, we'll be back with more.
Oh, yeah.
Cup talk.
The WTIC News.
Great ball of fire! We're back. I was busy dancing.
Yes, I noticed.
Were you dancing
because of was there some sort of effect that you were dancing to make you dance like that, or was it just you were inspired by the music?
I'm sure it just warmed the rest of me up.
I see.
Be commensurately warm. There are 60 million laptops in the United States, 150 million, no, let's see. There's 100 million laptop users in the world. By 2005, there will be 60 million laptops in the United States and 150 million worldwide. And if there's an estimated 100 million laptop users in the world, and half of them are men, then there's 100 million possible damageable goods by this. And so we're asking young men in particular, people like Bobby and Mikey C, Big Game James, people with their whole, lives ahead of them. Or maybe we're actually, maybe, depending on whether we actually want them to reproduce or not, I mean, maybe it would be a good thing to encourage certain people to do. Keep the laptop right there.
It might be worth buying them an extra laptop.
But anyway, laptops can reach internal operating temperatures of more than 70 centigrade. That's 185 Fahrenheit. And so anyway, I mean, if you put it on top of your testes are going to get hot, and apparently you can do irreversible damage. This Dr. Shenikin, I guess his name is, who did the experiment, said portable computers in a laptop position produce scrotal hyperthermia by both the direct heating effect of the computer and the sitting position necessary to balance the computer.
You're
trapping it in there like a canyon.
Volunteered for that study?
I don't know. So all we're saying to people is be careful, use common sense. If you feel that part of you getting hot, warm, it's maybe time to put the laptop aside. And obviously, if you're using these things for wireless programs like Bluetooth or something like that, just be aware that you need to take breaks from time to time. If you're using a joystick, obviously there are additional hazards. Would you like to Armin?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
Armin, hi.
Hi, Armin.
Hi.
Hi.
My son went to broadcasting school, and yesterday you were plucking like a chicken.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about testicles. I'm just wondering now, sitting by that behind that big board where he works, where you guys are at right now, is that going to affect us? Like, I have a grandson, a niece?
Well,
that's a good question.
There's the heat. What kind of job does your son? What is he training to do?
He works right behind that board. He's engineering in your place.
Oh, like in other words, like what Bobby's doing.
Joey.
Yeah. Oh, Joey. Joey comes in here. We know Joey.
Joey.
He's Joey's dad. Yeah.
Oh, Joey.
Yeah. Joey's already fathered like five or six kids at the radio station. I don't know. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. No, I got some niece and nephews.
Yeah, you sounds to me like he's doing just fine.
You've got some extra Christmas shopping to do, Armin. So, if anything, we're trying to get Joey to maybe anything we can do to sort of slow Joey down at this point.
Calm down, okay. Yeah. I know we got a one-eyed dog, but I don't know if he was that busy.
All right, you have to go. If you want Joey to have a place to work.
Yes.
Right. All right. I think it's time to change the subject.
Where should we go now?
I'm scared to. I don't want to put jingles on there.
Is he going to get a jingle?
Yeah, he's got a jingle. And Bobby says it's okay. Bobby says we can run it. He pre-screened.
Bobby said we could run it.
Well, Bobby's, you know.
Right.
Okay. Bobby's more conservative about this kind of thing than I am.
Okay. Randy in a car. Randy.
Hi.
Interesting name, by the way.
Yeah. Clean one.
Okay.
Yeah, clean one. Okay, I don't sing. Colin will have to sing it.
All right.
It's row, 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 row your boat gently down the stream. Remove the laptop from your lap, for kids are but a dream.
That's not too bad.
That's cute.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Remove the laptop from your lap, or kids are but a dream.
That's the kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. I guess it's all right.
Yeah.
Actually, it's less harmless than what we usually get.
That's true.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other little... You can write more verses to it, too.
That's where the problem starts, is when you start writing more verses to it. Did you have something in mind?
Watch, watch, V-I-T for Jerry, Joe, and S-D. Take the laptop off your lap.
No!
You
will...
No! No! I don't know.
Do you think the phone in Sal Haney's office is ringing at all today?
What? I know. The thing was, I was cautioned about this. I was cautioned by him.
Yeah, but it's okay.
But I haven't done anything.
No,
I've not said anything untoward. I haven't said anything off color. I haven't used any bad words.
What?
I mean, this is... What? I haven't.
Mildly suggestive, perhaps.
I mean, mildly suggestive. But, I mean, in fact, this is important health information.
Well, it is. I
think a lot of
public servants
are not covering
this. Many, many people would not be the public servant that you are.
Yeah.
You're stepping up to the plate.
I mean, in fairness, we're late getting to this story. I mean, 93.7 runs many songs about this part of your anatomy getting hot. But, you know, so, I mean, they've been all over this problem from day one. But,
but in some of those, it didn't necessarily involve a laptop.
No. But anyway, the final message here is permanent and irreversible damage in some cases can be done by letting this, you know, particular part of you get overheated. So please don't put the laptop there. You know, it's called the laptop.
Live from Amherst, it's an old new...
relationships with, cell phone companies and consumer issues. I don't know, I find it kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it for a long time. It's like maybe a half hour.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I wasn't going to say like Clark Howard is for losers or something like that. Bruce Williams is for losers, but not Clark Howard.
Well, I didn't say I listened to that. I didn't.
Another guy's phone in today. Don't you think? Bruce Williams?
I haven't heard him in a long time. I couldn't say.
Okay, Bruce.
What is he on?
Doesn't make any difference. Look, I care about the problem you just called us about. Did you meet him the day he came here?
No, but I've actually interviewed him before a long, long, long time ago.
He came here one day. He came in here and he came in the studio. So, in fact, we were in the old building. Bruce Williams.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, Clark Howard's been here, too.
Yeah. And he, like, made Janine go get him a pocket handkerchief or something. I mean, he's like, you know, he reminds you a little bit of Rumsfeld, actually. I mean, he looks a little like Ronnie.
Yeah.
And, you know, the skin. He doesn't like your glasses. He'll just pull them right off your face and stomp on
them. Ooh, that's really nice. Camper.
Ooh, those glasses, Camper. And then, kind of like that. So you're listening to Clark Howard.
Yes, I'm listening to Clark Howard. Yeah.
So, like, what, I don't know, is there any way you could describe what the appeal of Clark Howard is for you? You don't have a lot of consumer issues, do you? I mean,
Clark
smart?
I don't have a lot of consumer issues.
Contractors.
Please.
So maybe
I could
maybe
fill up that show
maybe
every night of the week
maybe
for a month.
Because you yourself are trapped in this hell of contractor issues. Maybe that's why you're listening to Clark Howard.
Well, it's not contractor issues so much. It's more
consumer-related
more
building
insurance
condo,
and that kind of stuff.
Exploding building
issues.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's why. Maybe you get comfort from the fact
I
that other people have problems, too, and Clark is able to...
You don't find... On occasion.
Yeah.
And
I'm not interested in anybody's problems except my own. I can't imagine wanting to listen to that.
Okay, but say you had a problem, a consumer problem, which obviously I guess you don't.
No, I don't have any consumer.
Say you were moving and you dropped something or whatever and you didn't know how to replace it or
provide
new or that kind of, well, I know that.
Yeah. If I dropped it, I mean, what else am I going to do? I could bring it back to the store and claim they dropped it, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that what Clark suggests?
Isn't there a former boss that has something to do with that show?
What, like Paul Douglas? Or
yeah.
Douglas. He works on so many different shows, I have no idea.
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine it's a very good show.
So maybe subconsciously I'm just supporting him. I don't know what the deal is. But I listen to it maybe.
Does Clark ever talk about his personal life on the show?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
Not really.
All right. He's married, right?
I don't have any idea.
That's about
frankly,
question.
I don't care.
All right. And now it's time to go to Jeff in his car.
You're sure about that?
Body screamed this. He feels okay about it.
You're sure about it?
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
It's all sex and food hurtling towards the necropolis anyway, so
okay.
We get fired.
That's
it's all the same. Being here, not being here, working, being fired, it's all the same. Is Salhini in there?
Uh-huh.
No. What a pathetic weenie. All right, let's put Jeff on. Come on. You're not free if you can't do these things.
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Let me just quickly set the stage. You know, we did have this public service announcement, a public health announcement earlier, that it is dangerous to your fertility to keep your laptop on top of your lap for too long. Because it heats up your testes. And that actually can permanently damage them in terms of future fertility. And you have a little public health signal you'd like to share with us?
I have. Put your computer away if you want your wife to say, we're having a baby, thanks. Because if your laptop resties on your testes, you'll be shooting blanks.
Very good.
Oh, that's excellent.
Bravo.
Sensational.
I made that up myself.
Wow. Very nice.
I feel like John Legend is
coming here. Very, very nice.
Heard the future of rock.
That was the best.
He's the next Bob Dylan.
Oh.
Bob Dylan does have a song kind of like that.
Unless your laptop resties on your testes. I'm going to be in the alley with Shakespeare.
All right, quickly, let's go to Don and Newington. You got 30 seconds for Don.
Yeah.
Boom, like a Gatling gun.
Okay,
Don?
Quickly.
Yeah.
I just had a thought on the West Wing plot. Since the president is limited in his number of terms,
mm-hmm.
eventually Alan Alda runs for president. He gets elected, and West Wing continues with just a new lead character.
You know, I think they did say that this was going to be the last season, although promises were made to be broken, obviously. I was angling for Val Kilmer as president, as a one-eyed bisexual president.
As long as he could spin the couple like Doc Holliday, he could get my vote for anything.
Whatever. So anyway, our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. And,
Daddy, can you go see Lincoln again?
We are going to talk to you. That is so lame. We are going to... we haven't really actually talked too much about Rummy today. I have to say, that was one of those disastrous appearances by a public official. Even the Bush administration, and they never get in trouble for anything. They're in trouble for this, I think. You know, this guy is so arrogant that he really thinks that you can talk to American servicemen this way. I mean, this is the one thing the Bush administration is supposed to... And not only that, but... And Rush was talking about it. I caught that tail end of hideous, fathead Rush talking about this. In a way that I'm sure was meant to blame the media or anybody else besides whose fault it actually is. But in addition to everything else, American military might, which is the one selling point of this misbegotten bunch of creeps running this country, it has been completely compromised by this kind of thing. It's now clear to the world that we sent our soldiers into battle inadequately equipped. And increasingly, I don't see why anybody should be afraid of the threat of military force from us, since clearly, we're not taking the whole thing seriously anyway. I mean, he thinks it's a big joke. And he couldn't believe that he clearly thought that he was going to be freaking Bob Hope talking to these guys. And they were all going to, be clapping and loving him and stuff like that. And then instead, they're quite legitimately saying, we don't have the stuff that we're supposed to have. We don't have enough people. We're not armored up. We don't have Kevlar. We don't, how can you be doing this to us? I really don't think it ever crossed his mind. He actually said, ask me some tough questions. But the minute he got any tough questions, he went feral. So, I mean, he clearly wasn't planning to take any tough questions from anybody. And I just think, I can't believe this is the guy that Bush wanted to keep. You know, he wanted to clean the house, except keep Psycho Boy in his job.
From anybody in the entire area. Right, yeah. I recognized it immediately.
Sunday night, nothing's open.
Sunday night at 5 o'clock.
Actually, I figured out I was wrong. I misspoke at the beginning of the show today. In fact, Abraham Lincoln was in Hartford on March 5th of 1860. He gave a speech, and interestingly, and this might be I'm surprised the Hartford Current, this strike-breaking, union-busting, layoff-indulging Hartford Current didn't know about this, but in 1860, Lincoln did speak in Hartford, and he said, "I am glad to know there is a system of labor where the laborer can strike if he wants to. I would to God such a system prevailed all over the world."
Very nice.
He actually said that in Hartford on March 5th of 1860. It was reported in the Hartford Daily Current, and they didn't fire the person who wrote it.
Does that mean that everywhere Lincoln spoke throughout his entire career, they should slam up a statue of some sort?
Well, no, it's just we're lucky enough to have an insurance company.
A select few.
A select few, yeah. Who's our guest here? Our guest is here. We're lucky enough to have an insurance company here that's named after Lincoln, so that's the way things are going to be. We're going to get a Lincoln statue. So joining us now, joining us now is Mike Crispino, but he's actually not scheduled to be on right now. Joining us right now is Lisa Curran, a program officer with the Lincoln Foundation. And hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. So explain this whole thing. It was page one story in the Hartford Current today, but maybe for people who didn't see it, you kind of sketch it out.
Sure. Lincoln Financial Group, as a corporation, is going to be celebrating its 100th birthday in 2005. And we've been looking for a very special gift that we could give the city of Hartford and area residents in memory of that anniversary. And so we're donating the Sculpture Park on the riverfront.
Yeah, the Sculpture Park, what will it consist of?
We're planning on at least 15 to 20 sculptures on both sides of the river,
right,
so that probably you could get a nice four-mile walk in and take in some art along the way. And as I said, both sides of the river, including a couple maybe even on the Founders Bridge. And
will they all be Lincoln-themed sculptures?
No, there was one thing I wanted that we did not want. We don't want this to be of every sculpture to be of Lincoln.
Is Lincoln nude and throwing a discus or something?
No, it won't be a Lincoln Stations of the Cross, so to speak. You'll probably have a Lincoln likeness on each side of the river, and the rest of the sculptures will be evocative of some theme or life experience of Abraham Lincoln. So you could have a sculpture based on the theme of slavery or abolition or conflict, unity, grief, those types of qualities.
So you have and that sort of ties in a little bit with Harriet Beecher Stowe and all that kind of stuff. And of course, the two of them had an encounter.
Absolutely. This was a very historic encounter between the two of them.
And there are other obvious tie-ins. I mean, another tie-in is first of all, the Connecticut Historical Society, I believe, still has the Treasury Guard flag Lincoln was clutching when he was shot.
Yes, well, there were actually several flags around his box that night, but yes, we have one of the flags. Certainly, you've mentioned the visit to Colt when he came to Hartford. When Lincoln was president, was one of the richest moments in Hartford's history. We were a leading a port at that time, leading manufacturing center. Certainly, Colt's arms were used to fight the Civil War. So that was a particular time in Hartford's history.
Also, Gideon Welles was his Secretary of the Navy. Gideon Welles, of course, from here, born in Glastonbury, was at one point the editor of the Hartford Times. So there's a little tie in there.
Absolutely.
What's the actual connection of your company to Lincoln? I mean, I know it bears Lincoln's name, but he didn't work there or anything, right?
No. But when the founders of our company, which was founded in Fort Wayne, Indiana, wanted to start a life insurance company, and around that time there had been issues around sort of fly-by-night life insurance companies. They wanted to establish a company that was ethical and honest, and they decided to write to Robert Todd Lincoln and request his permission to name the company after Abraham Lincoln and to even secure Lincoln's likeness as part of our logo.